Almost lived my dream of petting a koala. Got real close, but they would not allow it. I found out while I was there that apparently most koalas are infected with chlamydia. Don't judge them. It's just a fact that I learned that I am sharing with you. Most koalas have chlamydia, which is crazy. I didn't even know koalas went to Coachella.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
One time I did a show for NPR where I opened for Paul Simon. And I
think, oh my God.
I know, it's one of my greatest trivia things. Yeah. Sometimes when I do a show in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 30 people, I go, hey, I've opened for Paul Simon, you fuck.
You white people. You know Paul Simon?
I bet you do. Yeah, that was my opener. I go, every black comedian's dream.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Greene. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chrissy Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us on the TCB Infomercial Tuesday. Whee! We could not be more excited on this Tuesday to have Ron Funches come in and sit with us for a few minutes. He is a noted comic. He's a voice actor. He's an actor. He is, he's really fucking funny. I actually really like Ron, and I'm super excited to talk to him. And he's friends with some of the people that we've had on the show before. My memory fails to tell me which friends of the show he is, but or he has, but whatever. Anyway, he's in the circle of trust, in the tree of trust, and so we'll let him in the nest.
We'll let him in the nest.
With a little baby trust and, you know.
With his silky chickens, maybe.
With his silky chickens. There you go. You'll figure that one out later on down the road. But thanks for joining us. Here we are. So I was reading an article a couple weeks back, but I thought I'd bring it to your attention. There is so much attention on Trump taking the White House and how already two people have tried to assassinate the president by the FBI standards, not by mine, but have tried to assassinate the president, that they are really concerned about people trying to do harm to President Trump, which is terrible.
Yes.
That's
not the answer.
In my opinion, I'd rather have a bloodless argument over politics, if you don't mind, right? Because it's 2024. Do we really need to be shooting each other up? We don't have muskets anymore. You know what I'm saying? No one's running around musketing it anymore. It's like a different kind of things going on. They have decided that they are going to be using Boston Dynamic dog robots to troll the White House lawn.
Really?
As Secret Service
helpers?
Agents, tools. Yeah, as helpers. And they've already been spotted on the White House lawn running around doing practice trials. These dogs. I saw a video of it. It's the craziest fucking thing. I'm like, robots are now protecting the White House. Robots. We have gone too fucking far. That's for sure. Shut down 8chan, 4chan, QAnon, conspiracy, whatever it is. Shut it down. When you need robots to troll the White House, isn't that kind of dystopian a little bit?
I don't know.
Robots, I find it dystopian.
Robots are gaining headway.
Chrissy says robots are the wave of the future. Wabam! Chrissy says robots will soon be with us. Wow! You take some dynamic motors and a little bit of AI, whatever that is, and you throw it into a cauldron with some orange hair and a bad tan. Wabam! We're protecting the president from harm with our Secret Service dogs, who aren't really dogs. They're what, Chrissy? Robots! Wow! Robots. I just find it to be really dystopian,
like,
kind of freaky.
Aren't Roombas a robot?
Roomba is a robot, technically. Yeah. Listen, when I was 12 years old, I won't forget this. The year, maybe 11, maybe 12. I don't remember how old I was, but I won't forget the moment that for Christmas, all I wanted was one of those robots. Back in the 80s, they had this version of a robot, and it would, you know, roll as walking, and its little legs would move, but it was really rolling. And then you could give it certain commands, and then it would,
yes,
you know, do certain commands, like lift your arm, put it down, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Or roll this. It had like a little plate you could put on its hands, and it'd be like, you know, roll this over to the left or whatever. It was the most ridiculous. You look back on it now, and it's like, it's not really robots. It's just a motor.
A toy.
Yeah, a toy that's just running around. But that is the seedling of robots that now control some manufacturing, a lot of industry, and now apparently, you know, guarding the president of the United States. I wouldn't trust those things to be out. Have you seen those Boston Dynamic videos of those robots that do things?
Yeah.
Some of them are fake. You have to be careful. Some of them are fake.
Yeah, I have seen those, and they look pretty crazy.
Yes, they do look absolutely insane. You would not want to meet one of those on the street that intended you harm, because it doesn't care. I mean, it doesn't care.
Yeah.
To be clear, the Secret Service robots right now, they're controlled by an actual human being. Like, they do their thing, but then if something comes up, then they have to, like, get permission from their overlords, I guess. I'm not sure how that works.
Is it kind of like a drone where people kinda
like a drone.
zoom in and then see what the robot
sees? Exactly. Kind of like a drone. But, you know, drones have been so great for the United States of America. So we're out back last night, and I have this super powerful flashlight that I have for emergency situations. So powerful.
Super powerful.
So powerful that you'll drain it in like 10 minutes if you turn it on its highest.
That's great for emergencies.
It's great for emergencies. You have 10 minutes to get everything done you need to get done. To put the children in the bunker and get secure, right? But, you know, it's a thing. Well, kids, we're fucked. I forgot to charge the flashlight. It only gave us 3 minutes. I thought 10. Daddy's going to die now, but everything's going to be okay. Blues in charge.
That's what you could do is put ship Blue up off to the White House.
Hey, listen, if you want a guard dog that is certainly that's certainly going to repel any kind of harm to the president, Blue is your dog. Blue's your girl, because she is a bitch. That girl's a bitch. She cannot let a conversation go. She just has to be in the middle of it. It's so insanely annoying. Anyway, so we're out there with, and the kids are playing with these like toy flashlights, the kind you buy for a dollar at Home Depot or whatever. And so I gave them all little flashlights they can play with. We do shadow puppets and stuff like that. And so one of the kids found that super powerful flashlight in my drawer and ran inside, grabbed it, came back outside. And then I was telling another child of mine, hey, look at the airplane in the sky. It's like a low-flying two-seater airplane, the kind that I used to fly when I was training to fly. A single-prop Cessna, essentially. And it's not flying very high, maybe 2,000, maybe 3,000 feet. And the kid who has the flashlight starts pointing the flashlight at the airplane.
Oh no.
To which it illuminates the belly of the airplane. I mean, I don't think that much, but I could see the stream in the sky, you know, that stream in the sky that was going toward the airplane. And I was like, holy shit, you can get fucking arrested for that.
Yeah,
like,
you can.
Don't do that. So I basically jump on my kid, smother the flashlight. That's like 150 degrees. That light gets so hot. Basically, it's a fire hazard that doesn't last for 10 minutes. You're fucked in an emergency. It's going to cause an emergency. That's an emergency in a bottle, basically.
All of a sudden, you've got the fire going in the backyard.
Oh, my God. The power went out last night for hours, and that didn't feel good. I can't sleep when the power's out.
Maybe the plane had alerted somebody that they needed to check out this area of town.
Secret Service robots were running around town trying to find the source of that 1.5 minute long.
So they just shut the power. They just shut the power down for you.
Well, the funny thing was, it was raining, but not bad. It was, you know, like a moderate rain. Mm-hmm. You could hear the wind. It was a little bit windy, but the power went out. And when we got an alert from the power company, they give you like a link to a map where you can see like updates and stuff like that. There were like many people in this neighborhood around this part of town that were out. So I imagine it was one of those big, transformer stations that blew. Why am I talking about this? No one fucking cares.
I don't know.
But anyway, so, drones, flashlights, robot, like all those things have done some good for society. Like, we have great stock photography of the Grand Canyon now because of drones. But then they're also out there, you know,
and homes
randomly killing people. Yeah, and homes on Zillow. That's right. Oh, my God. When I was in the house business, you know, I don't know, 8 years ago, when I couldn't make a dollar to save my life on any particular real estate project.
Yes, I remember.
There'd be contractors or builders around me that'd be making like $1 million a house. And I'd have the best lot on the street and I'd lose $600,000 that I didn't have. Somebody else's money. OTM, as they call it, or OPM, other people's money. That's right. Anyway, when I was doing that, the drones were just becoming like hot for photography.
Yeah.
And anytime we put a house on the market, every agent that we would interact with was like, I've got drone technology to film your house. It's only an extra $3,000. You'd be like, an extra $3,000? Let that come out of your pocket, buddy. No one needs to see the roof of this house to buy it. That's not what needs to happen.
Yeah.
It's a pretty shot, but I'm pretty sure as long as they live in town and they can go actually see the physical property, they're going to get everything they need out of the house by looking at it themselves. Because when is the next time you plan on flying 60 feet above your house to look at how pretty it is from the sky? It doesn't happen.
No, I guess it would come in handy, obviously, with lots of land if you had around the house and you could see the view and the whatever.
That I can see. If you're building like a massive construction project and you need, or you're moving into a, I don't know, like a, the Villages or something like that, they're kind of showing you where your house is going to be, then I can understand why it might be useful. But it's just a house. Everybody thought the drone shots were going to change the real estate market fundamentally. There was like this group of guys out there here in Atlanta. You don't understand. We get 10% above asking because of our drone shots. Oh, you do? You do get 10% above asking because of your drone shots? You're a fucking sales guy. Ah, and I used to be one too. I know what's going on. Anyway, Ron Funches is the voice. He is here in our house constantly because he is the voice of Coop in the Trolls movies, which are fantastically popular. And Cooper is one of the more popular figures in there for my children, at least. He is a noted comedian. He is on tour. He's got dates you can go check out. He's got social media you can go check out. And he's got many films and television appearances that you can go check out. We'll talk to him about some of that. And we'll ask him about his tour and how it's going. And then we'll try and connect the dots between Ron and other people who have been on the show many months ago and who they are and how my brain can't remember any of them. Okay? Was it Rachel Feinstein? Was it Gianmarco Sorosi? Was it Mark? I can't even remember. I don't. Kelsey Cook? Who knows? Anyway, we'll try and put all the pieces of the puzzle together when we get back. Ron Funches here in our studio.
In the nest.
Here in on our TV here. Pretty close to us. What do you say we take a break and then we'll get him on?
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll be back as soon as I find the liners. What was that? Did you hear that? It sounded like an emergency. We need a flashlight. That honestly sounded like a bomb went off. That was crazy. Okay, we might be back. We'll talk to you soon.
Brian might have just said it's time to take a break, but some of us have to work right now. And by work, I mean gently nudge you, nay, beg you, to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Because listen, the more followers we get, the more clout I get with Chrissy and Brian. If you've got something to say, give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3TCB or shoot us a text. One more thing, check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, where you can find all of our audio and video and even request a new sticker from the Contact Us form. Bye!
And Ron is here with us right now. Ron, I have a bone to pick with you. It's not your fault, but...
Hi, Ron.
Hi. One of you sounds much nicer than the other.
Well, thank you. Chrissy's not that big of a bitch. She'll settle down after a few minutes. You have captured the hearts and minds of all 13 of my children. You are a voice actor. You're so prolific. But one of the things that I'm sure you get commented on about a lot is your turn in the Trolls series as Coop, which is, by the way, if I have to watch a kid's cartoon movie, Trolls is up there on my list of ones that I go,
definitely.
Okay, I can watch that one. That's all right. And Inside Out 2, which I just recently watched with my children. And I learned that you were in that too. Voice acting is, do you love that? Is that a passion?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. Mostly because it's a way that, there's a lot of different types of voice acting, but it falls into two basic camps. One of which being people who are like mimics and who can do a lot of different style of voices, like a Eric Balza, who can be like Bugs Bunny or Tweety or anybody. And then there's just weirdos who have weird voices. And I am in that camp And so for the longest of times, people just made fun of me, and it was felt like a detriment to my life. And so for it to now be a thing that's been able to help me buy a house or have people know who I am, or I've had people, friends whose kids were in the hospital, and they would have the same type of conversation where they're like, oh, we're in the hospital, my kid's scared, and we've been watching Trolls on repeat, and we've watched it 4 times before I realized you were in this movie. And then, you know, like sometimes I'll send little voicemails to kids in that type of situation. Aww. And it's just been a thing that helps me. A lot of my material and my comedy is for adults, so to be able to connect to a younger generation and to my own children and be able to show them that type of stuff is always amazing for me.
Ah, wonderful.
You do have a very unique voice, and so and now that you pointed out, that's an interesting take on it. There are two types of people. There are celebrities who just use their regular voice and we know them because we know all of their work. There's the third kind who does kind of the impresarios that do all the different accents and tones and all that stuff, have cartoonish voices. And then there's Ron, who just got a very unique voice. And you mentioned it when you were a child, you probably felt, I would imagine, I don't want to put feelings in your heart or words in your mouth, but I bet that at times that was not the why was I born like this? Like, why do I have that voice?
As a teenager in Chicago who wanted to date women, it wasn't the best voice to have at that time. Now, as I've gotten older, people hear the different timbres and that there's everything in my voice. There's warmth and sweetness and kindness, but also strength. So it's really fun now, and I just embrace it. And it's one thing, sometimes I work with this charity called School on Wheels here in L.A., where they do a lot of after-school programs and helping homeless kids and kids who are at risk of being unhoused. And I've gone and spoke with them, and I tell them, like, embrace those things that set you apart, that make people make fun of you for, because those are the things that can, you know, help you win and later in life.
Yeah, I have children of a number of them, and they're all over the map with their personalities and their strengths, and I don't think they're weaknesses. I think they're uniquenesses, right? So their strengths and their uniquenesses. And one of them is when he likes something, he can get obsessed with it, right? It's over and over and over again. I think repetition oftentimes calms his mind, the anxiety that he may feel. And Trolls was on repeat. Trolls, and then the second one was on repeat for years at my house. But he just loved the character that you were playing. He became so infatuated almost with that character and with Poppy that it was something that was hard to ignore, how he connected with that character, when sometimes I feel like he may not connect with other things that sometimes other people connect with, right? So it's very interesting that you mentioned that you have a depth and a warmth and a sweetness to your voice, because I think that does come through in a lot of the voice work that I have heard you do. It's very, it's complex. It's like there's notes and undertones. It's like a fine wine, Ron. It's like there's notes and undertones. It's not just a Chardonnay. It's got, you know, sheep poo-poo in there too, or whatever. It's like a wine. So congratulations on all the success. You're all over the place right now. And you grew up in Chicago, in Woodlawn, Chicago, right?
Woodlawn Avenue, Southside Chicago, yes.
Yeah, I grew up not too far away in Oak Forest, Oaklawn, Chicago. That's where I was born. Did you always set your eye on entertainment, on being funny, being entertaining?
Well, I think it was more of like a natural thing that I didn't know was an actual job path. I just liked making fun of people. Pretty expressive. A lot of times, one of the things that was difficult for me with jobs when I was younger is that if I don't respect you, it shows. And so I've learned to get better at that somewhat, but I've never been good at like hiding my real feelings. And so I thought I would just make fun of people and have fun. And I didn't know I was being like a class clown or anything in school until I actually won class clown in high school. I was just like always the guy on the side making fun of the class clown. Yeah. But I guess I did it enough that people started to really notice. And I just didn't really have, I mean, similar to what you talk about with your son, I'd never, or I mean, I guess your child, I didn't know if it was your son or your daughter. I apologize. But
yeah, he's my son. Yeah.
It's your son. I have very limited interests. I didn't have many other like job interests. I either wanted to be work in comedy or be a professional wrestler. And I was like, but I'm not big enough for 5'10", so it's not like a really good size to be a pro wrestler. So I had to focus on comedy.
Yeah, you got to be super jacked now to be one of those pro wrestlers. Those guys and girls are fucking huge, man. They really are. And they honestly take a beating. Like, I know the wrestling, the storyline is fake, and it's probably all, you know, the they're jobbing each other and all this other stuff. But you look at, I don't watch a bunch of wrestling, but when you watch some of that wrestling, it's just insane how they beat each other up. And the doctors who take care of those people are never out of, they gotta be never out of a job.
That's true.
They're probably always shooting them up with something. Don't you think they got to? Like, they've got to be taking all kind of pain.
They're always, managing pain. There's no wrestler that I know that isn't injured in some capacity. And then a lot of them, you know, you think about the top levels, but it's similar to comedy. You have to work your way up. And so a lot of them are getting hurt for, like, you know, $50.
Right.
No health insurance. So it's a calling, I think.
You gotta really love that.
Do you still enjoy wrestling? Is it still something that you're into?
Yeah, I think a little bit less as I've gotten more interested in. I have started branching out. I started doing jujitsu and Pilates.
I read that about you. Jujitsu. Yeah.
Yeah, I like them both a lot. So that's gotten me more interested in watching more jujitsu, and I've been just going out to see more live performances in general, a lot of concerts. I always love pro wrestling, but I go to less events than I probably used to.
Yeah, you know, wrestling, I think when you think about the comedy world, it's pretty well known that it's a circuit, right? You start here in the open mics and you make nothing, and you open for you're the 17th opener, you know, and then you move on and you move up, and then you're headlining your own shows in small clubs, and then you kind of work your way up. How did you get started?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much that.
Were you working? But
that
were you working
in Portland, right?
Yeah, it's in Portland and in Salem, Oregon, which is where I was living. And I had my son already at the time. So I was just trying to do I was trying to get out of open mics as soon as possible. So I was hosting a lot of my own shows in Salem. And then I would go out on do bar shows up and down the Oregon coast and the Washington coast for like $75 a night, and then just trying to get better at it as quickly as possible, because when I started, my son was already 2, so I had to figure out how I couldn't really just waste time or money with it.
Yeah, when you have kids, it puts everything in perspective. It changes the whole, I mean, they say this and it's cliche, but a lot of times cliches are cliches
true.
Because they're true, right? Is that when you have a child and you give a shit about that child, your whole universe changes. It's like the world spins on its axis, and your true north is always those children. No matter how much you'd like to take a break and run off to Mallorca for a weekend, it's like the children are always there.
Yeah, there's balance in life for sure. You got to keep your own identity, but I think as you get older, especially, it's nice to not consider yourself the main character in the story anymore. And I'm well aware I'm not, like, I'm what I do is in service of my sons. I'm here to prepare them to be the main characters. I'm no longer the main character.
That is a very self-aware, grounded, mature look at life. Can I have some of that? Can you give me some of that? Did I read that you got your big break on Portlandia?
That was one of them, yeah, for sure.
That was like your first acting role?
That was my very first acting role. Just being in Portland doing stand-up at the time that they were shooting it in Portland. So they were nice enough that they used a lot of the local Portland comedians, and I don't think I had a single line, but I made a lot of faces, and they said some nice things about me that made it stand out a little bit, and got me certainly interested in acting. And then had some auditions where I bombed terribly, and then it gave me kind of the same feeling of bombing in stand-up, where I was like, oh, I'll show you, I can do this.
I became fire, yeah.
Yeah, so I got in the class and then just, slowly got better.
And so then what is your first voice acting role? How does that come about? Is it just because you have such a unique voice? Someone approached you and said, I really want to use your voice and for a character.
Yeah, actually, it was, you know, doing stand-up in L.A., and people will casting directors and things will come to different shows, and I think someone heard my voice, and it was a TV version of the DreamWorks movie Home.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they did that, and I was playing a space alien princess named Charizard, who was a very sassy lady who said dang a lot.
I know this cartoon because I know this movie, and the same child who loves Trolls also loves this, these Home characters. All of my kids love Home, actually. They really enjoy that show, but then there's a television show that also goes around. Look at how deeply integrated into my children's brain. I feel like I'm paying your rent or something. I'm paying your life. Happy to do it.
Yeah. Trying to get them to come to comedy shows in 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
They will. I'm sure they will. So can I talk about your son for a little bit? Is your son autistic? Is he on the spectrum? Is that right?
He is. My oldest. Yeah, I have two sons now. My youngest is 2 and my oldest is 21 and he is on the spectrum. Yeah.
Are you okay to share a little bit about that, because I'm very interested. I have a couple of friends who have children that are on the spectrum of various degrees, and it's not uncommon these days. Tell me, I asked this of two of my friends a couple of years ago when they found out their child was on the spectrum. What is the biggest lesson that you have taken away from raising a child that is neurodivergent?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. I think my patience levels are off the chart, which is very helpful when it comes to my career, you know, and wanting to do certain things and just realizing like life is long and things change. So it helps give me a sense of peace. And also it gives me a sense of gratitude with everything so that I don't take too much too seriously, because I'm aware of like the struggles that we've gone through and the changes I've seen in my son and the hard work that he's put in. But the main lesson I always try to put out, and I do it my own stand-up, is that he's taught me to give up all expectations but keep all hope. And those are yeah, it was a very wonderful thing. You know, I think when you have a kid, no matter how hard you try, at least for me, you start daydreaming about these things that you want for them and you want for them to achieve, or things that you wish you could have achieved and you want to put on them. And I very quickly had to abandon all of those expectations and then just learn to be like, okay, I hope he one day just says, I love you. That would be nice to hear. But even if he doesn't, I'm going to assume he does love me, and see that had gone from me never knowing if he would say that to him being so independent and having his own part-time job and not telling me he loves me every day, but also wanting to spend as little time with me as possible now that he's 21. Uh-huh. Asking for me to take him to the strip club. It's really just so fun of a life that I have with him now. And it's taught me so much.
There are different versions of proud, I think, you find when you're a parent, right? And there are expectations. I thought this a long time ago. I think expectations sow the seeds of our own disappointment in a lot of situations, in almost all situations. If we're trying to tell the future and it almost never comes the way that we want it to. And raising children, it's one of the lessons I'm learning as having younger children, that you do have to let go of those expectations, because oftentimes those expectations, like the things that you imagine, aren't coming true, or they're not going to come true, or they're not, that version of it's not coming true. But there's a different kind of pride, learning, loving, caring that starts to blossom in its absence. And if you can learn to pay attention for that, to look for that blossoming in its absence, then it's more rewarding than, say, you know, if my kid was on the honor roll or got married, to whatever it was, whatever the expectation was. And the other day, one of my kids, who I don't consider, he's not like a physical kid. He doesn't lift things. He's not strong. He doesn't care about sports. He's very cerebral, he's very intelligent, like book smart. I wanted to move a bed, and I said, just told him, I said, hey, buddy, grab the end of that bed and let's move it over here. And you know what? He picked it up and he moved it. And when he did, Ron, I swear to Christ, I got chills. I could have had a tear in my eye, because I was like, the kid did something physical and he did it on his own. Like, I didn't have to help him with it. He did it on his own, and it made me proud. And in that moment, I realized there are different versions. There's like, in My expectation was my male son would be able to, you know, throw the football or whatever. It didn't happen. But in its absence, there's this certain kind of beauty in his cerebralness and his intelligence. And yeah. He moved to bed by himself. Like, there you go.
Yeah, I think there's always, I think our job as parents is to help our kids become their true selves, mm-hmm. not what we want them to be. And if we can help them embrace their gifts and help them instill their confidence and let them know that it's okay to be whoever they are, that is, I think, the best thing that you can do. And you get that sense of pride when you do see it, when you see them in their element. And I've seen the reverse with me and my mom. My mom was... you know, she was originally supportive of my comedy career, but as it was going on a while and I wasn't making any money and I had my son, she was more like, hey, you've had enough fun. Now it's time for you to buckle down and support this kid more and quit asking me to help pay your phone bill. And I had to, you know, have some strong talk with her about like not reinforcing my own doubts. And we didn't get along for a while until she did come to a show and she saw me perform and saw how the staff treated me and how they treated her. And then she pulled me aside and was just like, you know, I get it. Like, this is who you are. This is what you're meant to do. Yeah. And just getting that type of reinforcement for her really helped me.
Isn't that one of the, in my opinion, isn't that one of the best feelings in the world? Like, it brings almost like it missed you up a little bit. When one of your parents, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, left field, my dad isn't particularly supportive of my creative ventures, but all of a sudden out of left field one day we were in the car, he pulled the car over and he said, I don't know if I tell you this enough, or I don't know if I've ever said this to you, but I'm super proud of you and I'm super proud of what you've done with your life. And it's not my expectation for you, but it doesn't matter because it's giving me chills right now just to say it. And that was a moment that transcends time. I can feel it right now like I felt it back then. Did you feel that sense when your mom said, hey, Ron, I get it. This is you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It just, you know, makes you feel like a little kid again. And just having the approval or someone seeing you, yeah, made me want to cry for sure.
Yeah, I think that that little kid, that little child is always inside. I mean, if you go to therapy, you'll figure out that little fucking child.
Yeah, no, every time. I wish there was just a button you could press so where I didn't have to go like, well, why do you feel like you were a burden? Because when I was
You've done so many wonderful and exciting things in kind of a short period of time. When were you on Portlandia? 2017, 16, something like that?
Yeah, I'm going to say that. That sounds right. Sure.
Okay, so in a short amount of time, and not a very long time, you've had quite a career already. Tell me one thing that you've done where you're like, holy shit, Ron, you did it. You showed up, like, here you are. I mean, you know, that arrival moment when you know that, wow, I'm having some success here.
I mean, I don't think there really is anything that ever feels like you make it. That's one of the premises of my own podcast that I do, where I just like, because I think the first time I did have that feeling was when I did my first set on Conan O'Brien, and because it was another expectation where I said, hey, when I'm on Conan, I can say I'm a national comedian, that I really did it. And I went and I did it, and I crushed it, and I made him laugh really hard, but I also brought my son and my ex-wife with me, and I spent all the money that they gave me for the show before I even got there. And then I had to go back to Portland and do open mics, and nobody had saw me on Conan. And so I had to learn very quickly that, like, you can just take those as markers, you know, to in case people try to knock you down, you can go, no, I did this. But overall, I just try to, like, do things that are fun for me and that are interesting for me. But there's certainly been times where I've been like, I can't believe that I'm here, whether it's like just doing a scene one-on-one with Maya Rudolph. I remember doing like a scene with her and Lou and just rehearsal. And then they call cut and she just walks past me and she just goes, God damn, you're good. And I was like, oh my God, Maya Rudolph just told me I'm good at acting. And it made me just, you know, it determined similar to how my mom made me feel. It just, yeah, I've had multiple. One time I did a show for NPR where I opened for Paul Simon. And I
Oh my God.
I know. It's one of my greatest trivia things. Yeah. Sometimes when I do a show in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 30 people, I go, hey, I've opened for Paul Simon, you fuck.
You white people. You know Paul Simon?
I bet you do. Yeah, that was my opener. I go, every black comedian's dream.
Oh, you brought your ex-wife to Conan O'Brien is the best part of that story. But I get it. Like, you know, listen, podcasting is kind of like the, I don't know, it's the newspaper of 2024 in some senses, unless you're like, you know, Joe Rogan or Conan O'Brien. You know this because you're a podcaster. Like, you get out to the people you get out to, but it's very hard to be found. It's not covered by traditional media, usually, unless there's some celebrity of note that does something on a pod, something stupid, chicken fry or some bullshit like that, right? And then, but, you know, sometimes people will send me like a screenshot of something. They'll be like, oh, look, you're on the charts. You're here, you're there, you're everywhere. And I go, yeah, the first time that happened, I was filled with pride. Exciting. And that was awesome, but I put a marker in it real quick because the next day a $1 million check didn't show up to my front door. That's not how it works. It's like slow, slodgy, trudgy steps, and there it's like, you know, it's you said this, the saying death by 1,000 paper cuts, it's progress by 1,000 paper cuts, right? It's
just, that's how I do my career. That's what most people, like, you know, a lot of people go, where do people know you from? And I really can never say because I have, like, you know, I have people, like you said, where there's like families who are like, we've heard you in this and we've heard you in that. Or there's people who just saw me in like pop up in little cameos on like Netflix movies, like The Six Underground, where people are like, oh, I really like that little cameo you did. And it's just, or me just being a fun guest on something like Nailed It, where people just like, oh, I like him as a person. And I think that's, I mean, that's really what I'm trying to get across, is that, like, put me anywhere, I'm good, you like me. That's what the product is, you know?
Were you in I'm just asking, I don't know the answer to this, but I feel like now that you said Nailed It, that were you in Is It Cake? Did you do a guest?
Yeah, recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Another show my kids love. Yeah, we watch that at night when we're going to bed. And it's a lot of fun, actually. I can't believe that I like a show called Is It Cake, but I actually like
a show. It was so fun. It was hard to find out what was cake or not.
Yeah.
But sometimes you could figure out one of them was cake easily, and then you felt bad for them because you were like, I don't want to rip it apart. Oh, that was easy.
Not so good.
Right? I know you've been working for it for 14 hours, but that's cake, clearly.
I saw all that sweating going on over there in the kitchen, but I don't think you should be here. No, but you're very nice about it. Like, I mean, you know, and that's, I think that's part of the Ron brand, I think, is that you're very nice. You're like very nice and self-aware, and that's hard to believe that you're so good at putting people down. You're so good at being a cunning comic is because you are so nice, but you're really good at that kind of, let's say, roast battle type, but roasting people.
Yeah, I like to be, I mean, I really don't even consider it, I don't consider myself that nice. I just try to come with a base level of respect and kindness and treat people how I want to be treated. But if you don't match that with me, I consider myself an energy matter. I'm happy to adjust quickly.
Sure.
So and then over time, I've learned how to read people quickly. So it's just as, that's what I think makes me good at both these things, because if I give you a compliment or I say something nice, it's because I really see it or I really believe it. I think that's my gift overall, is not like being nice. It's like seeing it and saying it, and which some people don't. And then I will also be happy to say the reverse. If you know, if I need to put someone in their place, I can see their fault and I will say their fault.
Yeah, that's a fresh way of looking at things, because I do think a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this too, is that sometimes, you know, we compliment to manipulate, we put down to defend or be defensive because we're feeling insecure, vulnerable about something. It's just a lot of emotional manipulation sometimes that goes on in this interpersonal play that we have every single day of our lives, right? But there are some people who are really good at calling it like they see it, and that at times I think can be startling or maybe even off-putting, but it's refreshing also is because there's so much of that that goes on, that interpersonal manipulation. Truth. That's right. And so when you give the truth, it's almost like you don't expect it anymore, right?
That is so funny that you say that. That's one of my biggest comedy theories, because I spent so many of my early years of my career, I think you, as for any comedians that might listen, is that I spent so many years just trying to like write a type of joke. You know, you'd be like, I'm going to write this type of joke. I'm going to write a fat joke. I'm going to write a black joke. I'm going to write a weed joke. And then I learned quicker that if I just said things, if I said what I really believed in my voice, that people weren't used to that. Mm-hmm. And that it just automatically, on a base human level, because they were either nervous or because it hit a bone of truth, that it would make them laugh a real truthful, hearty laugh, as opposed to these laughs of like, oh, that's clever, or oh, that's I didn't think of that. But they're laughing because I believe it, and because I'm saying what I truly feel. And I think that in comedy, I don't mean to give away my secrets, but it is one of the
good. You have to take the secret, and then you also have to have the talent, Ron. So don't worry about giving away the secret, because most people don't have the talent, the timing, the ability. You talked – am I right about this? You talked to Mike Pesca? Did you sit down with Mike Pesca?
Yeah.
So Mike Pesca is a friend of ours, right? Mm-hmm. And so we just had him on yesterday, and I'm just connecting the dots when you're saying this, that he was telling us that you are a, what did he call it? A comedic philosopher or a comedic commentarian, a comedian, whatever. I was asking who, what, where were some of your favorite moments from the conversations? And he shared a little bit about his conversation with you and said that he really enjoyed it because he felt that there was that your base or your foundation for comedy, your where it comes from, the roots and the way that you, your candor, and the way that you present yourself on stage was different than some of the other comedies heard. And that's his whole point in doing this series, is to try and get to the bottom of what's making comedy tick and why some comedians, some commentarians like yourself, Rachel Feinstein and others, can open up minds, push the envelope, you know, stretch the boundaries, make people think about something different, or make them realize something about themselves that maybe is an uncomfortable truth. And it was an interesting conversation. Your name was brought up, and now I'm just remembering that. So
that makes me feel really good. So I really appreciate hearing that.
Mike said you're an all right guy. Mike said, I like that Ron. I like that Ron guy. All right. So tell us what you're into. I feel like I could talk to you all day long, Ron.
Sure.
So tell us what you're up to now. Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity is, of course,
great show.
Great show. We've had Natasha on, and I think we have another panelist that's coming in next week. Tell us about this show. How'd you get involved? How are you enjoying it?
Oh, well, you know, it's based off of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Classic show, Jeff Foxworthy, who would tell you or not. He was the leading person on specialist on letting you know if you were a redneck or not.
And, now, and then letting you know if you were dumber than a third grader.
Yeah. But now they decided we know we're all dumber than the children. So let's find out if we're smarter than celebrities. Uh-huh. And so we get to team up with contestants and try to help them win money. And I'm just a big fan of game shows. I hope to host a game show one day. That's one of my big goals, is to host my own. And so
you'd be great at it.
I think so. I agree with you. And so when I got the opportunity to do this, it was a very easy yes. And and also one of my favorite things is to help funnel money from corporations to individuals.
I like that.
Hey, you don't have to say that twice to us. I've also thought, if I could host a late night TV show or a game show or like a television talk show, that's like a dream of mine right now. It seems like there's a lot of game shows to be hosted these days. It's back in form. It's back in fashion after a couple of years of kind of going away, so to speak. Do you think that's something in the cards for you? Like, give us a little inside track. Do you think there's conversation where you might be able to host a show? You have to tell us who you're in conversation with, but.
I mean, I just hope so. I just really want to. I've had a chance to host a few things on a smaller scale. I hosted a game show for the platform Quibi before they went away very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and, Quibi. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And I hosted a spinoff of Chopped called Chopped 420.
Oh, yeah.
Where they people cooked with weed. And it just really, I mean, it just kind of reinforced my, what I thought that I would do have a good skill set for it. I enjoy talking to regular people often more than like celebrities. So it's just something that's fun for me. And so I hope so. I'm working on some individual ideas on my own, some with some of the people from Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? And also have some friends at Fox as well with the Masked Singer people. So yeah. I just hope to make my own one day. And then also I would love to host like something like The Price is Right or something of that nature. God. Would be really fun for me.
And that is a dream fucking job. Can you imagine? Drew Carey is living in the lap of luxury. He just has the best job in the world. He gets to give away a bunch of shit. He gets to have a bunch of fun and he probably works.
He gets to spin a big wheel.
That's it. Spin a big wheel.
That is my all time favorite game show.
I went to L.A. probably right after he got announced that he was going to take over for Bob Barker. And so maybe he was like half a year into this hosting gig. I was out in L.A. and I was meeting a friend for breakfast in the hills. And I end up at this diner. And this diner, we're sitting at a table. And then right behind us gets sat Drew. And he's got a newspaper and he's sitting there drinking his coffee and whatever. And maybe he's like two tables behind us. So I go, I asked the waitress. I go, that's Drew Carey. She's like, every single morning he's here. He drinks his coffee, he has his breakfast, and then he goes, does whatever he does and goes to work. So we said hello. And I said, the waitress says, you're here every morning. You're a regular here. And he told me straight up, look me in the face. He says, I just got an invitation to have the best life ever. If I'm good, I get to keep this going for the rest of my life. And I was like, hey, you're right. Probably get paid a buttload of money and just be the host of the Price is Right. That would be a dream come true, I think.
It'd be a great job. Especially with my new young son, I'm looking for anything to help me get. I mean, I always want to do stand up. I don't plan to get off the road completely ever, but I could add something that made it not a necessity. I would love that.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw a reel. My wife was showing me a reel a couple hours before you came in about you talking about most koalas have chlamydia.
Yeah,
and
I learned
Chrissy
that.
And I were talking
about that before
Drew. Yeah. And this is an amazing fact to me.
Yeah, it's an epidemic.
Why do the koalas get chlamydia? Is that a sexually transmitted disease?
Because they're not careful. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not using condoms.
Is it a sexually transmitted disease for them, or did they get it from like the tree or something? You know what I'm saying?
No,
like
it runs off is. On the tree.
I think it's still a sexually transmitted disease.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Those fucking koalas, literally those fucking koalas.
They get it in. Yeah, they're freaks. I don't judge them, though.
No.
I don't judge anybody on their sexual pleasure. As long as you're not giving it to me, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's it. Ron, what's the name of the podcast?
My podcast, I have two now. One's called Getting Better. That's the one that's like really fun about a comedic self-help podcast. I give affirmations and talk to my friends. And then I have a new one called Wagging That Dragon, where I just watch House of the Dragon. I've never seen any fantasy or any type of Game of Thrones things in my life. And so it's coming at it from a perspective of one of my friend who's seen it a lot. Joey Cerrone is a great comedian.
Oh, yeah.
And then myself, who has never seen it. And so we watch each episode and discuss.
That's fun.
You're like me. I've seen all of that. Two episodes of that House of Dragon, or what's the other one?
Okay.
Game of Thrones.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys can still go get in there. This premise. You guys redo it.
Didn't you have an old podcast too with someone? You were doing a podcast with someone. I felt like someone came in here and told us they had you on their podcast as a co-host, but maybe I'm mistaken about that. But it also could just be my brain. I'm old, Ron. I'm old.
It's okay. You really had a lot of good research and other things that were fully correct.
we've had a lot of stress in the last week. I don't know.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I went. We had it Tuesday, and then I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma on Thursday.
Oh God. Were they all wagging their dragons?
They were. They were very happy in their
That's as red as it comes out there in Oklahoma. Yeah. But, There are brothers and sisters too
that like to laugh.
It's one of the things that I was apprehensive about going right after, and some of my friends especially were. But I think it was a good for my own levels of fear to see that, like, to be reminded that A, there were people there who were upset about it as well, but there were people who were happy about it, but they weren't like mean or jerks or
racist. They weren't waving around swastikas or something.
No, they weren't, and so that's good to see. You know, some of them didn't seem like they could, but.
You know, when we were talking to Mike yesterday, he really reassured us. He said, listen, democracy holds. It'll be tested. You know, the bounds are going to be pushed. Things are going to be changed, but small incremental changes because, you know, Trump's lazy and he's not going to follow through on a lot of this stuff. But then also there are good people everywhere, and there are going to be people who fight the good fight. And I do think that, you know, even no matter who you voted for, some people on both sides of the aisle are just loud and moronic, but most people are just trying to live their lives and be good people for the most part. And, you know, maybe on my opinion, on my side of the aisle, some of those ideas are a little bit misguided, but that's okay. You know, we'll all get through it together. And hopefully in 4 years from now, we get to vote again.
Well, yeah, I just think also, though, we have to look within, and so often we're like, well, there's going to be some, but there's good people out there. I think we have to be those good people, you know, and we have to embrace the people who right now who fear the most maligned and feel the most afraid, and let them know that we're there for them, and that if something was to occur that threatens their freedom or threatens their ability to feel safe here, that we have their backs, and that we would, you know, we use whatever lawful dissent that is available for us if it comes to that. But hopefully it won't.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and we try and do that here on the show through satire and direct conversation, because everyone deserves to be who they are, no matter what that is. So as long as it's not hurting somebody else, that's it.
Yeah, you got to put that second part in.
Yeah.
You
got to hold
Well,
people
I mean, as long as it's
people will test it if you don't say that second part.
That's why don't I reverse it and say, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, you deserve to be who you are. How's that?
There you go. I love that.
Yeah. Ron. It's been an absolute pleasure
for
and
coming.
Delight. Hopefully we will get to talk to you again. Next Trolls movie that comes out, I'm going to invite you back. Is there another Trolls movie? Did I hear that?
I don't
that?
Know. Not that I know of yet, okay. But hopefully soon. I mean, that's always something animated that I'm working on, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys, I would love to. It was great talking to you both. You both have tremendous podcast voices. They're
thank you.
To listen to. So thank you for having me.
That's very sweet. I really appreciate it.
Well, look forward to seeing you hosting that game show. I'm going to
manifest
Ron
that.
Ron for Price is Right. That's all I got to say. Not that I have anything bad to say
Drew. Drew can keep it for 5 to 10 more.
Yeah,
Ron for his own game show first. That proves that he's good.
Yes.
And then when Drew is ready,
go.
Aside, let me on in.
Go. Bob Barker, Drew Carey, it's time for a change. And listen, they have television in color now. Let's do it, Ron. You can still get your dogs spayed and neutered. Thanks very
much.
Ron Funches is on tour right now. He is on Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? He's got his podcast. We'll put all of the pertinent links inside of the show notes. And we wish you the best, Ron, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Please, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ron.
Since you clearly haven't had enough of me yet, I am back to yap in your ear and subsequently into your heart to tell you to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. You've heard these liners enough to know that we are desperate for followers, so help a girl out. While you're at it, maybe shoot us a text at 212-433-3TCB or leave us a voicemail spilling your guts and asking for advice. You can also check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, if you feel like perusing our catalog or if you're just bored. Now let's listen to some sponsors because they keep me paid.
Well, I've seen Trolls so many times, so many thousands of times.
Now
you've
met
like
the person behind the voice.
Coop, who is, by the way, like have you ever seen Trolls?
Yes.
Okay. Coop is that, like, you know, weird looking troll that almost looks like a giraffe or something like that. And he gets psychedelic. He's like the psychedelic one.
Yeah, it's Coop been a while, awesome. But I have seen that.
Coop is awesome. And that one's for the kids. But Ron Funches is just a wonderful human being. And I didn't get into all of it, but he's just, when you watch
caring,
enough of Ron, caring, kind,
thoughtful,
and he will slice you at the knees. You got to be careful because even that voice and that very sweet nature can also roast someone to death. So you got to be careful with Ron. Don't be an asshole around Ron. That's all I got to say. Oklahoma.
And he won't be an asshole to you. That's the point.
That's right. Yep. What you give him, he'll give back. And so I had a wonderful conversation. We had a wonderful conversation with Ron. I'm so glad that he came in.
Yeah,
we've been trying to get him we have been missing each other a couple times over the last couple of months. And I'm glad that we finally got it done. Ron Funches. All the information that I told you while he was here, same thing. His podcast, Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? Check out all his voice work. And of course, what else did he say that he wanted us to talk about?
Well, he's got the two podcasts.
Two podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Wagon the Dragon, Comedic Therapy or something like that. I think it was Comedic Therapy. And we'll put the links in the show notes just in case we get it wrong, because we likely will. So just go ahead and look at the show notes.
He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. And the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of voice acting jobs that he's had, you've probably seen more than one of them, because I went through that IMDb and I was scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And Loot. Oh, yeah, Loot. We didn't even talk about Loot. Huge on Apple TV, season number 2. He said he's filming season number 3. That is a great show. I've only watched the first season, but that's another one of those fucking shows that I've got, you know, waiting in the queue to watch season 2. And, you know, we've heard from so many people, and I've back channel. Ron is fantastic. And now I know why, because he truly is. So go check all that shit out. Give Ron a try. Oh, his tour. That's it. His tour. Go see him on tour. He's always touring.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope Ron comes back.
I do too.
I hope most of our guests. There's been, we've said this before, but we just keep adding to the list of people I want back.
I know.
We're not culling any from the herd. You know what I'm saying? There could be one or two in there that would just kind of be like, you know? And then we could. So I think I counted the other day we had like 49 guests, 50 guests or something like that.
Wow.
46 of which we've broadcast as we're recording this. I think there are 3, maybe 4, where I would, there's 4 that I would say, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Right? 2 of them I would just say no to, and the other 2 I would be like, maybe not our lane, right?
Yeah, not many at all.
But then we got 46 other people I want to have back! How do I get them all in? Tell me, how do I fit them all in? Anyway, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you go to find out more information about the show, all the show notes, the audio, the video. It's all right there from one location. Soon, every episode of The Commercial Break will be on video on YouTube and available on Spotify video. I'll let you know when that happens. We're currently testing that platform. And we have a few videos. You want a treasure? You want to do like a little scavenger hunt? Try and find the videos on Spotify of Commercial Break episodes, because I've been putting a few up there just to test them. See if you can find them. Dig through the 690 episodes of The Commercial Break and try and find them. Anyway, I'll let you know when they're up there. But YouTube, every single episode coming very soon to YouTube. 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content, ideas. We take them all. No muss, no fuss. Let us know what you're thinking. We'd love to hear from you, voicemail or text message. Add The Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and youtube.com/The Commercial Break. All right, and while I've got you, 12 days of TCB coming the 13th through Christmas Day of December. Please join us. We would love to have you. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk a lot of shit. We're going to have a lot of laughs. And we'll all commiserate together. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. And Ron Funches, until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
the fuck is going on in here?